May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After midweek Advent prayer this week, Mr. Eugene Ebersberger, a wonderful elder member of our congregation, came up to me with a question. And I thought this was strange because Eugene is the type of guy that I go to with questions. As with many of you longtime members of St. Stephen's, I assume that you all know much more about the church than I do. But this was a nice for change. I could answer a question that Eugene had. And I thought maybe some of you had the same question as Eugene. He wanted to know, why is there a pink candle on some Advent wreaths? Have you ever noticed that? Now, we don't have a pink candle on our wreath here, but I hear that St. Stephen's used to have a pink candle on the wreath. Yes, Roger confirms. And maybe in your homes or in another church, you've seen a mixed in with the other colors one pink candle. And this pink candle is for the third Sunday of Advent, which just so happens to be today. In many Christian traditions, the third Sunday of Advent is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. Rejoice Sunday. And look at our banner. Huh, our word for today just happens to be rejoice. It's like someone almost planned that or something. The pink candle is seen as just like a little bit more lighthearted than the blue or the purple ones that surround it. And this pink candle is a reminder to pause and to rejoice in the midst of a season that's meant to mirror much of the penitence and preparation of Lent. Can you think of someone who could really use a little rejoicing right now? Really take a moment to pause and think. Can you think of someone who really needs a little rejoicing right now? Perhaps it's a friend or family member who's struggling with illness, maybe even something unidentified or incurable. Or perhaps you know someone who just can't get into the holiday spirit, a real Grinch, right? A real Ebenezer Scrooge with a heart so hard that they can neither give nor receive. Perhaps world events come to your mind, and you think of those who flee their homelands for their lives, who have been struck by acts of terrorism, or who are still without what they need months after a natural disaster. Perhaps someone you know is mourning and missing during the holidays. Or perhaps it's you. John the Baptist and his people needed some rejoicing, too. His nation was crushed and in the clutches of Rome. His people were stifled by religious leaders who made the beautiful faith of their ancestors stale. They were tripped up by the difficulty of day-to-day existence that left so many people just on the edge of life and death. In the midst of these dark, sad circumstances, John found a way to trust in the goodness of God. John found a way to rejoice and to point to the light, to point to signs of God's nearness. But the way that John the Baptist rejoiced, well, was a little different, shall we say. It's our second week in a row reading about John the Baptist, right? If you were in church last week, you might be having a little deja vu, because some of the words we read were just exactly the same as last week, except from a different gospel. But because biblical times and biblical characters often seem so strange to us, we might miss the fact that John the Baptist was strange to his own people. He was a weirdo in his own time and place. John the Baptist's life starts out unusual. Jesus' birth isn't the only one foretold by angels. In fact, John's father, Zechariah, receives an angelic announcement. As in the days of their ancestors, God will grant an older couple the chance at parenthood and a role in the story of salvation. God will grant Zechariah and Elizabeth a child, John. Do not be afraid, Zachariah, the angel says, that normal angelic announcement that starts out as we'd expect. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his coming. He will prepare the people of Israel with spirit and the power of the prophets before him. He will prepare a way for the Lord. He will testify to the light. He will point to the light. Even before he's born, he will be filled with the light. It's who your son will be. John cannot not rejoice in the light. It's who he is. From before he is born, it's a part of his being. He points to the light and rejoices in God's nearness. Now, John's way of rejoicing is what might look a little strange to us. Remember, this is the guy that goes around clothed in camel's hair, which that was not a traditional biblical garb in the day. He goes around looking sort of wild and crazy and surviving off of locusts and wild honey. He is secluded in the wilderness, away from towns and family and people and friends. His rejoicing may indeed look unusual to us, but rejoicing it is. John's rejoicing that as the witness to God's light, he can taunt the powers that be, the nation that keeps his people down, as he proclaims the coming of another one who will destroy their abusive power forever. John can rejoice that as witness to God's light, he can flout his unusual dress and eating habits in the face of the society types who would look down on his station. John can rejoice that as witness to God's light, he can rebel against the religious orders of his day and instead lead people away from the temples and sanctuaries, away from the glitz and the glam, to the wilderness, to worship simply at the riverside. John's rejoicing, John's life, the ways that John shares God's goodness and mercy may look a little different to us, as they looked different to the people of John's own day. But that's because the joy that John is rooted in is different too. It's not the joy of presents and Christmas trees and pretty lights that we often prepare with during this season. And don't get me wrong, I like those things. That's a good kind of joy. You can drive right by the parsonage and see our Christmas lights up. Our home will have all those things come Christmas morning. But that joy is not the joy of John the Baptist. It's not the joy of having all your running around done and finally being able to enjoy the season. It's not even the joy of having found the perfect present for your beloved. That sort of joy only gets you so far. Think back to those people you thought of at the beginning of the sermon. Those folks who are really in need of some rejoicing right now. Many people will spend the holidays on the streets, combating the snow and ice that some of us find so seasonal. People in the very lands where Jesus and his family roamed are fleeing for their lives and not being granted welcome into safer, stabler countries. Many people will go without presents and lights and festive food because it just costs too much. Many are alone. Many are still searching for the light. There is a reason why so many feel those winter doldrums after the holidays are over. That kind of joy only gets you so far. We need a different kind of joy. We need a different kind of joy to live as God's people in this complicated, sometimes dark, sometimes ugly world in which we live. We need a John the Baptist kind of joy, a weird kind of joy, an unusual joy, something conspicuous. We need the kind of joy that walks around wearing weird clothes and eating weird food. A joy that snubs the powers of be because it knows that those things aren't lasting. When things get dark, this joy knows where to find the light. We need a kind of joy that causes a darling little baby boy to grow into an adult so crazed and so wild that he lives strangely and eats strangely and probably smells strangely too and goes far out in the wilderness and yet still somehow has the charisma to draw a crowd. We need the kind of joy that causes a darling little baby boy to grow into an adult so crazed and so wild that he lives strangely and eats with sinners. That he welcomes outcasts and goes all the way to the cross to demonstrate his crazy, strange love for us and for all people. That's the kind of joy we need. The joy we prepare to receive at Christmas is not just for Christmas. It is especially for the Good Friday moments of life. It is for the times of waiting and longing like Advent. It is for the longest night of the year and the darkest night of our souls. It is a joy that is rooted in the deep and profound recognition of the goodness of God, not only when things look good, but when they look quite bad too. It is a joy that roots us whether we are alone, when the holidays are over, when we find ourselves on the streets or laid low with illness or facing death itself. If you have experienced that joy with John the Baptist, you cannot not rejoice. And you know what? We might look a little strange doing it, but that's what it is to be the people of God. No, we're not wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey, but our lives as the people of God should look strange. They should be unusual, conspicuous, noticeable to the people that encounter us in the world. We are people who know that resurrection comes from death, who can point to the light amid the deepest darkness, who can see the goodness of God even when all appears bad. Our whole lives are lived in a thankful rejoicing for the light. And that's a strange way to live. We are the people who will bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and good news to the oppressed. We are the people who point back to God when God is least seen and most needed. Like John the Baptist, we are to live in a different way in the world because of the joy that we are rooted in. The joy of knowing the love and grace and mercy of God this and every day. So as you go out there and live this last week, preparing and waiting and longing before the coming of Christ, be weird. Be like our friend John the Baptist. Be a little kooky and unusual. Eat with someone new. Greet someone you wouldn't have before. Find a way to bring good news to the oppressed or to liberate someone who is captive. Forgive those who don't deserve to be forgiven. Pray for your enemies. Welcome the strangers. It is this way of life in the world that helps us to point out the light to all people as we wait for God's coming again. Amen.